Well, hello, and welcome to the PGPC podcast. My name is Jerry Kieber. I am your host. As always, I would love to hear from you. You can check out our website, PrinceGeorgePentecostalChurch.com, and drop us a line. All right, sometimes in life you make good decisions, and sometimes you make bad decisions, and then sometimes you make what you think are good decisions, and they turn out to be tasty decisions, but also bad decisions. I just went to the store and I bought some stuff for a men's breakfast that I'm going to be cooking for a prayer group of guys who meet on Thursday mornings at our church. And I found myself the one place that I should not have found myself, which is the chip aisle. I just have this soft spot. It's a bit of an addiction. And I bought a bag of Hickory barbecue potato chips. And I actually just ate pretty much the whole bag. I think there's about 2-3 full chips left in there and then some crumbs. And so that was probably not the best decision I've ever made, but they were really good. That's why I ate the whole bag. I think I once heard of that called not an accident, but a snaccident. And I tend to have those with chips. I'm really into salt. Not like, I'm not a sweets guy. I'm a salty guy. I think salty is like a thing that teens use now to say that you're angry about something. Just got a text from a friend asking me if my podcast today was on bad decisions because of something I was going to buy. And no, it's not. Well, I guess kind of it is, but not bad decisions that I'm making. Other than texting this individual who, if he's listening to this, that's a bad decision. Not listening to this. Man, I just totally destroyed myself. I'm going to stop talking about that, and we're going to jump to this podcast episode. I can't believe I'm going to hear about that, but I'm too lazy to restart this podcast. So all of that said and done, just threw myself under the bus. So many jokes I could make along with that as well that I just won't. All right, I'm too busy. You've probably heard people say that. If I had a dime for every time I heard someone say I'm too busy or I don't have time, I would not be rich because it would take a whole lot more dimes than people I interact with on a regular basis to make me rich, but I would have a good dime collection. It seems like in our culture, in our world, the people we interact with, there's a lot of busyness, a lot of people who just don't have time to do things, especially when you're like me and you work with a not-for-profit organization where you're highly dependent on volunteers. This is something I hear quite often. I'm too busy. I can't do that. I don't have time. And I guess the question that I want to ask is, why is it the case that people are so busy? I think there's a few things that we could generally blame. First would be work. You could say that work is one of the reasons why people are generally too busy. We live in a self-made culture. If you work hard enough, you can make your dreams come true. Or if you work hard enough, people will recognize you and be like, man, he or she, they're such a hard worker. Look at how much they get done. And I think that you need to actually dissect. If you're someone who's always too busy because of work, I think you need to dissect your motives. Maybe even look at, you know, your past history as to why it matters to you that people would recognize you or different things like that. I think you maybe need to do some self-contemplation on that, but we'll come around to that. But work is one of the reasons we could say people are so busy. Another reason would be family. Good thing, but family can keep you busy, especially if you have kids. If you've got kids, family can really keep you busy. I did youth ministry for 5 years, roughly. I'm in the age group where my kids are 4 and 2. They're starting to get to the age where we've got stuff that they do. And the number of times I hear, man, I want to do something, but I'm too busy because I've got my kids in hockey, because we bought a season's pass to the mountain, we're going skiing, because my kids in soccer, because we're going on vacation, because my kids in dance, swimming, football, band, gymnastics, baseball, art club, I don't know. There's like this list of things that we can put our kids especially in, and it's just like one thing after another after another after another every night of the week, and sometimes in the morning as well. You got something going on with your kid, and so you're just running one place to another, and that keeps you busy. So you could say something like work keeps you busy. You could say something like family keeps you busy. I'm sure there are other things that you could say, hey, this really keeps me quite busy. But what I really think it comes down to, and I'll make this suggestion to you, is three things: time management, relationship management, and inward contemplation. And that's not nearly as mystical as it sounds. Don't picture kind of sitting on a mountain with your fingers, you know, in a circle and your legs crossed. It's more just actually evaluating yourself. And so I'm going to take those backwards, and I just want to talk about how those things can lead to you or I or anyone being too busy. So let's talk about inward contemplation. Again, this is not something that's weird. It's not some mystical aspect of looking at your life. It's just looking at your motives, really, looking at why you do what you do. So the question is, why are you so busy? If you're a really busy person, why are you so busy? Well, you could say, again, going back, maybe it's because of work. Maybe it's because of family. And I'd say, no, it's probably because of something that you actually value. What is it that you value that makes you do the things that are keeping you busy as often as you do? And I think it's interesting because a lot of times we look at our time and we go, man, I'm busy. And it's because of this and that thing. It's almost a complaint, right? We're like, man, I'm busy because of work. Stinking work. I wish I could just work less. And yet we just work, 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 work. Or I'm busy because my kids are in everything. It's like, I just wish they weren't in everything, but I put them in everything anyways. And so the question becomes, why? What do you value that is making you do these things that are essentially robbing you of your time? What's the value underneath that? So let's talk about kids and we'll dissect family for a minute and we can just go down that road. Why is your kid in every sport that comes along? Let's say it's sports or activities that, you know, are keeping you really busy. Why is it that you do that? Maybe someone would say, well, I didn't get to play any sports growing up. And so I put my kid in a ton of sports. And so there's this value of investing in your kids. You want to give them opportunity. And so you're willing to make sacrifices, especially of your time, to make sure that they get to play, you know, whatever sport or opportunity is. Or maybe on the other side, you know, it's why do you put your kid in sports all the time? Well, I played sports growing up, and so I put my kids in sports. And there's this value of kind of the nostalgia of, man, I got to do this and maybe I enjoyed it, and so my kid's going to do it. And you could get into the dangers there of, you know, trying to relive your glory days vicariously through your kids. We could go down that road and talk about why that isn't healthy. Laughing as I say that because I'm thinking specifically of a story that was in the news recently of a bunch of parents at a hockey game out east getting in a fight, and the age group for the kids was 12 years old, and their parents are throwing fists at this game. How does that even happen? I'm guessing it's because somebody is holding on to their dream for their kid, maybe a little bit too much. I could be wrong. I wasn't there. But I think that's a fairly decent guess because I've seen stuff like that happen at sporting events. And if you played sports, you've probably seen that as well. I remember when I was in grade 4 or 5, we lived in the United States in Oregon, and there was a junior football league that I played in. It was sponsored by a guy named Drew Bledsoe. If you know anything about the NFL, he's a Washington guy. He's from Walla Walla, Washington, I believe. And so he sponsored this league in Walla Walla, Washington, and I played there. And I remember one day, I didn't actually catch it, but I heard the story afterwards of one of the parents was getting a little bit lippy, and another one of the moms took this cold glass of water and dumped it on him. And she's like, you need to cool off. And so you could see how that could escalate fairly quickly in the wrong circumstance. And you got to say, man, that's parents who are maybe a little bit too invested in what their kids are doing. And also maybe they're just dumb. Anyways, we'll carry on to that. So ultimately, when you're looking at why you're so busy, you've got to ask the question, what is it that you value that's making you do these things that are taking up your time? And I'm not saying that everything that takes up your time is bad. What I'm saying is generally the things that really consume your time, you're doing them because there's a value underneath of it all. And so you've got to identify what that value is. And then you got to ask yourself a few things. How do you identify that? Just quickly talk about this for a second. Be honest with yourself. Can you actually be honest with yourself and stop and say, man, I work too much because I'm afraid if I say no to my boss that he'll be disappointed in me and maybe I will get fired and I won't have money. What's the value behind that? There's a value of being able to take care of my family. Is that, you know, it's not overly hard to do. You've just got to actually stop and think about, why do I value the things that I value that are making me busy? And then once you've identified the value behind why you're so busy, you need to ask yourself a few questions. Is that a worthwhile value? I think that's one thing we oftentimes don't ask. We don't identify the value behind why we do what we do. And because we don't identify it, we don't stop and ask, is that a healthy value? Is that a healthy value? So I'll give you another example of this and the way that it would work itself out. If you are someone who's working 60, you know, even 55, 60 plus hours every single week, you're never at home, you're always busy, and you stop and go, man, I'm busy. What's the value here? And you look back and go, well, my parents told me that I was never good enough. And so I really wanted to please my parents. So I'm trying to show them that I am good enough by working so hard and having a good job. And you stop and go, is that actually a healthy value to essentially invest all of your time in trying to show your parents up? And you need to start to work that out. So you need to ask, is it a good value? And for a Christian, you need to ask, is it a godly value? That's something that's very important. Not say, you know, having a few people in your life who you're close to, who you can be honest with and say, here's why I'm doing this. Here's the value. Do you think that's godly? I think that's a good practice. Now, the second question you got to ask is your busyness actually serving the thing that you value, if it's a good value? So let's say, you know, going back to sports, you value your kids having a good childhood. Opportunity is important to you for them, so you put them in sports. But the question becomes, is putting them in everything that comes along healthy for them or healthy for you? Is that actually achieving the value of wanting your kids to have a good childhood? Is it actually achieving that? And you can stop and you can evaluate that. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. And I'd say, especially with sports and with kids, because I played a lot of sports growing up. I enjoyed sports. I'm not against sports. And I know we've put our little girl in soccer. We've done swimming lessons. We try and give her things to do. But I will say this, as someone who had really good parents, and as someone who's striving to be a good parent, I may or may not be succeeding at that. But I think what kids really need is your personal investment in them more than they need you to just throw activities at them. Especially you look at the state of kids and teens in our culture currently is pretty scary. And I think kids and teens having a few adults, especially their parents, who actually stop and talk with them and relate to them and invest in them on a relational level is going to go a lot further for them than putting them in every sport or activity that comes along. Again, I'm not anti-sport. I'm not anti-activity. I like those things. I played a lot of sports. It's just something to consider. So don't miss, just kind of looking at, I actually put down some notes for this. I just say again, don't miss investing in the most important thing for your kids, which is actually their spirituality. If you are a Christian specifically, we'd say their faith. So just some practical things, because I do see this happen, and I'd urge you against this. Sports don't come before church. Music, so if you got your kid in band, doesn't come before church. Hobbies don't come before church. And you know, you could say, well, that sounds like a list of rules. And I don't think that's actually it. Although if you're a Christian, again, speaking to you directly, you could read Hebrews 10:25, which says, don't stop gathering together as some are in the habit of doing. The idea of gathering with the church is super important. And I think that it's something that needs to be really a time value that is God-honoring and is going to be healthy for you. And skipping church consistently for other things shows a value to your kids. And that value is, hey, hockey is more important than gathering with God's people to make much of him. Or, hey, your band stuff is more important than gathering with God's people to make much of him. So I just say, be careful with that when you are investing in kids specifically, and even in your own life. If there's a ton of things in your life coming before your faith as a Christian, coming before you being able to gather with God's people, you need to evaluate that, because it's not healthy. And you need to figure something out. You may say, well, Jer, that's easy for you to say. It is easy for me to say. My job is to be at a church. And so I hear that. I respect that. But I still think there's value in gathering together and putting your faith into practice before other things. So that's just an aside on all that. So the first thing we talked about is inward contemplation. You got to figure out why you're doing what it is you're doing so that you can address whether you should be doing that. That's like a Dr. Phil statement right there. I had a friend growing up who always kind of made fun of Dr. Phil. He said, every time I turn on Dr. Phil, all you hear him say is, you can't fix a problem until you acknowledge the problem, which is actually probably a true statement. And it's a total digression on my part. So we'll move to the next thing I want to talk about, which is relationship management. Relationships. Lots of fun. We have lots of relationships. We have family relationships. We have friend relationships. We have work relationships. One of the reasons I think, anyways, that a lot of people are too busy is the way that they manage those relationships. So let me just say something simply, because you could talk about this. I'm sure there are books written on managing relationships and why we do what we do and psychoanalyzing everything. But I'll just say something simple. If you, in all of your relationships, say yes to everyone all the time, you are going to run out of time. So if you have an unhealthy relationship that you don't define boundaries, or if you all of your relationships are unhealthy and you don't define boundaries of what you can and can't give, you're going to run out of time. I'll give you an example of this from work. If your boss says, hey, I need you to work overtime. If you always say yes, you're going to burn out. You're never going to be around for either your kids or your spouse or even just rest. There's going to be huge issues, and you will always be busy. And the first thing that someone who always says yes to their boss when it comes to working overtime is, but if I say no, and then there's a reason. Well, but what? They're going to fire you? Probably not. And if they're going to fire you for not working overtime, do you really want that job? Maybe you do. I don't see the value in that, because where is your life? Where's your ability to stop and enjoy the goodness of what God has created? Again, this is speaking from a Christian perspective. But if I say no, but what? What are you, again, going back to this inward introspection, what are you valuing so much that you fear saying no to someone? And again, this is just skimming the surface. And you could go down this road and become someone who always says no to everything as well, which is also super unhealthy. Sometimes it's good to inconvenience yourself for someone else's sake. Like, that's not always a bad thing, but it's also not always healthy to say yes. And so you need to learn to, if you're someone who's always busy, you need to learn to manage your relationships with the people who are dictating your time. There are good places and good relationships to invest your time in, and there are places where you need to set up boundaries so that your relationships aren't sucking you of all of your time, whether that's a work relationship with a boss, whether that's a romantic relationship, whether that's a familial relationship. And again, all of those things are good. You need to have healthy relationships, but they have to have boundaries on some level. You know, if I need my wife to be investing her time in me 24/7, there's a word for that. It's called being needy, right? And it's not healthy. Now, it's good for my wife to give me her time. I need that. She needs that. But there are also boundaries within our relationship, and healthy boundaries are going to help you be able to manage your time, which brings us to the specific task of time management. You need to, if you're someone who is always busy, never have time for anything, you need to learn how to manage your time. You need to learn how to manage your time. It's the same as money, right? I had a professor in college who said, your money will tell you what to do, or you'll tell your money what to do. And time is the same way. Your time will tell you what to do, or you will tell your time what to do. The difference between time and money is this, though. You can make more money. You can work more, you can change jobs, you can make more money. You cannot create more time. There's only so many hours in the day, so you have to allot it well. I'll give you some tips on maybe how to do that. I think that I do an okay job at managing my time. I'm not perfect, but I think it is something I do okay. But just some tips. Sit down at the beginning of a week or at the end of a week and plan for the upcoming week. Sit down and make a plan. break down your upcoming week. If you have to do it hour by hour, I guess do it hour by hour, maybe 4-hour chunks. And that doesn't mean you have to have something in every hour. That's probably not wise. But ask the question, what are the things that you have to do? Because there are some things you have to do. You have to go to work. You have to eat. You know, you go back as a Christian, I'd say you have to go to church as a good thing to do. Meet with God's people. You could say if you're someone who wants to dig into some spiritual disciplines, you could schedule some time in there. And then what are the things that you want to do? For me, I enjoy going hunting. I'll tell you this right now, with a young family, if I don't really plan ahead to go out and go hunting, it's probably not going to happen. So I plan oftentimes months in advance, but during the week, I'll make a plan for something I want to do or hang out with some friends. Make a plan. And you'd be like, well, that's not very organic. I like to just drop in. Okay, fair enough. But if you're someone who never has time, maybe you need to set aside for some of these things that would actually be beneficial for you. And then what are the things that you need to do as well, and need and have, you could say those are the same thing, but things like devotions, things like investing in your kids. And I say this, you don't have to, again, write down hour by hour by hour, this hour I'm, hanging out with my kid because they need me to invest in them. But what you do need to do is make sure within your schedule, there's time open where you'll be able to do some of those things. There's time open where you'll be able to hang out with your spouse. There's time open where you'll be able to just relax. There's time open where, right, if you're scheduling every hour and there's never any there's never any margin, there's a problem because you are just too busy and you need to slow down. Something's got to change. So leave some spaces open. I'd even say leave a good chunk of spaces outside of the things that you have to do open. And again, if you make the comparison of time and money, if you have extra money, if you live with some margin financially, that's a good thing, right? If you spend to the wire, it's a bad thing. You never have any money left. That's not healthy. It's the same way with your time. If you live with some margin in your time, that's a good thing. That's healthy. If you are always completely taxed out on your time, it's not a healthy thing. Say a couple more things. I do think that it's okay as well to recognize that there are different seasons in life. Sometimes you are just going to be a little bit more busy. For me, historically, that makes it sound like that's been a long time. For me, over the last number of years, one of the times that's generally busy is camp season. So we do teen camp, and I directed our teen camp for a few years, and I don't do that anymore. But when we would do that, man, teen camp was a busy time. Leading up to teen camp, I was getting a lot of prep ready. During teen camp, you're going for 16 hours a day, essentially, if not more. And it's just busy. And it's okay to recognize that there are going to be some seasons like that. But I'd say don't let a season last for an unhealthy length of time. So it's one thing to have long days for a week or two. It's another thing to be 3-4, I even say like 1 month, 2 months. And especially if you're getting out to 3-6 months where you're go. That's just not healthy. So you need to recognize that there are seasons, but you need to also not let them last for an unhealthy length. And don't feel bad for preparing for or recovering from a season. Okay, so after teen camp, I would generally take a couple days and I would just crash and recover from the insanity that is hanging out with teenagers, generally in the hot sun for like 16 hours a day. Just take a bit of time to recover from that. Think when it all comes down, though, people really struggle with this. If you're a busy person, if you're someone who is like, man, I just got a lot to do, I think the biggest struggle in stepping into time management and actually allotting your time and actually having boundaries is you're afraid that you'll look lazy, or you're afraid that you'll look aimless. And I'll be honest, I struggle with that. Say a couple things to that. If you don't have any time, you're someone who's like, man, I'm just constantly busy, there's a pretty good chance it's not because you're lazy or aimless. Generally, and I'd say within our culture, if you look around you, most people, it seems like, are just going at a pace that's unsustainable. Like our Our culture is not in a healthy place or living at a healthy rate. Look at the mental issues that are a result of overworking. Things like burnout. It happens pretty consistently. Look at people who are strung out because they don't know how to rest. And I have to be careful when I say that because I can get like that. It's hard for me to stop and rest. But at some point, we've got to figure out how to rest or we're going to fry. You know, in different workplaces, things like, I use the term burnout, are not uncommon at all. In different workplaces, you see people who just fry because they go and 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 eventually they hit a wall because their body and their mind is saying, I can't do it any more. And so a good way to avoid that is actually to have boundaries and to manage your time. And I think there are some gospel applications in this if we want to talk about those as we tie up. And there's two of them specifically, which is, you know, not a good sermon because you need 3 points for a sermon, the old classic way that it goes, but 2 points will work for a podcast, right? If you think that your world can't function without you, you've got a God complex. So if you think, man, if I stop, if I'm away for a couple of days, if I stop and rest, everything's going to fall apart, you've got a God complex. The only person who the world will fall apart without is God. And you are not him and you can't be him. And if you're trying to in your workplace, in your family, or wherever, super unhealthy. You need to stop. You need to figure out why you're doing that. You need to address why you're doing that. And then you need to learn how to manage your time because you got to stop doing that, right? It's just that simple. I know it's never that simple because you got to work through it, but it is in a sense just that simple. And then the second point in this podcast-esque 3-minute long sermon is you need to understand that rest is ultimately found in Jesus. So if you go through the Bible and you study it, or even if you just read it, you'll see that there's actually a theme from the start of the Bible all the way to the end of the Bible that centers on this idea of rest. So in creation, God works 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rests. God calls people named Israel to follow him, and one of the laws that he gives them is that every week they're going to have a Sabbath. It's a time to stop and rest. And all of that is a picture of the fact that even though we live in a broken world where we are constantly at work because of things being broken and fallen, there is rest to be found in the person of Jesus. The book of Hebrews actually picks up on this. It says Jesus is really the rest that the Sabbath was looking towards. He is our Sabbath rest. And then when you get to the end of the Bible, we enter into that rest permanently. And so when you stop and rest, you're actually saying, I believe in who Jesus is. He is my rest. You're saying, I don't have to have a God complex because I don't have to go all the time. It's okay to stop and rest. And stopping and resting is actually an act of worship. Now, of course, you could go too far down that road and you could always be resting as an act of worship and then you're just lazy. But there's certainly a tension that exists there between resting and working. I'll leave you with this. It's something that St. Augustine wrote in his book, Confessions, which I have read a little bit of, not the whole way through, but he's talking about God, and he says that God is the one who is always at work and always at rest. And so there's this perfect equilibrium, I guess is the word I'll use, in God, that he is always working and yet he is always resting. And so for us, I think it's okay to hold that tension of a healthy place of work and a healthy place of rest. And too much rest or too much work is unhealthy. And then we got to start going, okay, well, where is the healthy place in that where I'm getting good rest and I'm also doing good work? And I think the best way to answer that question is, one, get into your scriptures, know what's going on there because it's going to help you. And two, surround yourself with people who will be honest with you and say, hey, listen, you're not doing a good job of this. Or, hey, you're doing a good job of this. Let's tweak a few things, but let's keep going. And I think if you start doing things like that, you're going to find that whole culture of, man, I'm just too busy. I'm just too busy. I'm just too busy. I'm just too busy is going to begin to change to, here's how much time I have, here's what I value, and so here's where I'm going to allot it. Here's where I'm going to put it. This has been the PGPC Podcast. Thanks for listening, and I hope to... Man, sometimes I just wreck sentences so badly. Let's try that again. This has been the PGPC Podcast. Thanks for listening. Tune in next time. Nailed it.